Gotcha. All right. Well, however you're celebrating the 4th of July and all this kind of stuff, whether you're joining us online for our 9 o'clock streaming on YouTube, how's it? If you're in the Ohana room, double how's it? Thank you for being with us. Because we know that with everything happening in our country, to celebrate the 4th of July tomorrow is a big deal because there's a lot of crazy things going on in our country. Back in 1776, when America was founded, when everything was signed off and John Hancock and everybody said, we're going to try this experiment of a union, of bringing it together. You know this from American history class, the whole idea that people came together from different backgrounds, different geographical places, different political ideologies, and said, let's do this. Let's come together on this. America was born with the ideal of unity in the midst of diversity. Our country nowadays has a lot of diversity that is very divisive also. But think back to when this whole thing was started. Multiple states coming together to form the Union Collective, whether you're from New York or New Mexico, whether you're from Washington, D.C. or Washington State, very different parts of the country, very different ideas that we can still be united. Whether you're from Hollywood, Houston, Hartford, Hoboken, or Honolulu, we can still say we're a part of something bigger than we are. You see, you may come from different places and eat different things. You may believe different things, but simply put, we're better together. And today, we're starting a brand new series about how it's better we than just me. Now, if you think about it, this concept is pretty broad, better we than me. We just came through a long series we finished last week. And if you're new to our church, you can check out our previous sermons and what we just talked about, how we're living in unprecedented times. We talked about we've never been more tired before, never been more purposeless before, and all these kind of things. But now we thought for July coming into the fall for the rest of the year, what better way to lay up the fall season approaching us soon than to talk about the importance for us to be together and what God has called us to be. Because it's so easy to kind of talk to ourselves, to talk to our own people who think like us, look like us, act like us, eat like us, and you think you own whatever land you land on, but that's not always how it works out, right? It's better to see how we come together. Better we than just me. Now, as important as that is, in a world that focuses on me, 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 how do we see that we are here together? I send you greetings on behalf of my father, my dad, Pastor Owen, and my mom, stepmom Joy, and my brother Jared. They're over in Zion National Park. They're enjoying all the mountains and the streams and all that stuff and doing hikes, and they're having a blast riding horses. And they send you love from the mainland. But as we talk about the 4th of July, boy, what better concept than we, than just me? Wouldn't you agree that the world that we live in is very me-focused? Every marketing campaign, every targeted Google ad, every email that you get in, every unsolicited text is about what makes your life better. Lose weight now. Let me show you how. Your life's not that great. Make quick money. Sign up for my Cash App. All this kind of me, me, me. What makes you, you, you? All about me, me, me. In fact, stop me if you've heard this before. Oh, don't stop me because I got the mic, but you know what I mean. You've said these things. You've thought these things. You've looked at people who have said this going like, what? But this is the world we live in. Yeah? Well, what's in it for me? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, that's nice. But how does that affect me? The company's making a change. Someone's moving to a new place. You have a friend who decided to take a different life course. Oh, I'm happy for them, but how does that affect me? Well, what's in it for me? How does this affect me? All these concepts. Oh, yeah? Who's going to help me? This is the world that we live in. You know when you said that? It made me feel. You make me feel. You make me feel like a natural woman. Sorry, I had to. Sorry. Roxanne, you're already shaking your head. You knew it was coming. In a world that focuses on me, 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 why does we matter most? It's really a cock-hole kind of idea that we are in this together. Why? Here's why. Here's why. Because if we're going to achieve anything of significance, if we're going to do anything worth doing, if there's going to be any big change that happens because the people of Christ have linked arms in arms and said, we're going to do something good, it's going to take all of us together. I often talk to people who used to go to church, never went to church, or consider themselves spiritual but not religious, and maybe that's you or someone that you know. And if that is, hey, we love you. All power to you. But here's what I often hear. Why do I have to go to church? Can I just believe in God? Can I just follow Jesus, or you know, worship Jesus from my house, by my bedroom, by myself? Like, can I just follow Jesus and not have to come to church? Doesn't God know me? Like, yeah, God totally knows you. And you can totally worship Jesus from a tent camping out in Mokuleʻia by yourself forever and ever, no doubt. You can hermit yourself in the back of the cave of Makua Valley if you like. But I got to tell you that this whole thing that Jesus brought us together on wasn't just for me. It was a we kind of thing. In fact, the word for church, the Greek word ekklesia, really talks about the assembly, the togetherness of this idea. And as much as we like to think, well, can I just follow God on my own? You can, but you're going to miss out on the entire benefit of all of us coming together. That's the idea. You see, if we're going to do anything and make a difference beyond ourselves, it's going to take more than just me. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take more than just you. That we are a part of something greater than just ourselves. If we're going to show the love of God in a world that is increasingly hostile toward the idea of Jesus, it's going to take more than just you and more than just me. It's we. The quote is often attributed to Aristotle, and people question whether it's true if he said it or not, but the idea remains the same. Perhaps you've heard this before. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. That the whole is greater than just the parts put together. The entire package itself is better. Basically, we're better together. Whether you heard it in Gestalt philosophy or you heard it from maybe a coach that was trying to bring your team together, the concept remains the same. If you're familiar with diagrams called the exploded view of things, take a look at this. Here's an image of a bike. These are all the parts of a bike. Every single part is nice, but the whole is greater than just the sum of its parts. Take a look. I don't know what you see here, but some of these pieces, if they're by themselves, they do nothing. If you put them together, you got something that works. Like for example, maybe you're like the bike frame and you're like, I'm the frame. I keep everything together. Without me, you guys would just all be flat tires. Yeah, you ever feel like that at work, or you ever feel like that in different projects that you're on? But you don't realize that without them, you're just a frame that goes nowhere. Or maybe you know someone that's a chain, or someone that's a crank. Without them, your bike's not going to work. The whole thing is we come together and we have something that works better together. Okay, how about this one? This is an exploded image kind of like a guitar. It's almost like a repair look at how a guitar works. You got these pieces, backboard, ring, sound hole, soundboard, saddle, bridge, fret, nut, turning pegs, neck, and you put them all together and you get a guitar. The whole is greater than just every single piece. As good as you think you might be, without the rest of the pieces, you're just a piece of wood or plastic, and you're not going to get anywhere. It's the whole greater than the sum of its parts. Now, some of you are going, all right, Pastor, this is okay, but it's not really like hitting me. Like, I get you, but I don't get you. You know what it's going to get our people? You know what always gets our people? Is food. And one of my favorite foods to break down in the exploded view is halo halo. My little boy's favorite over at Magnolia. Daddy, can we get halo halos? He doesn't even know what it is, but he eats it. If you don't know what halo halo is, it's like shave ice on steroids. It's like we take shave ice and we add all this stuff. Bananas, red mango, gulaman. What is gulaman? What is gulaman? Is there gula woman? Anyways, all this stuff, leche flan. And my favorite on the top, pini pig. You know when they put them on top? I better go, pini pig, pini pig, pini pig. Halo halo is all these pieces put together because the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. This is a picture of the church. If anybody asks you, what is Metro like? You say, halo halo. You know why? Because that is you. I'm not saying which one is you. You pick which one is you. But we are better when you are a part of it. That's the whole idea. We are worthless by ourselves. But together, the whole thing comes together. Every morning on Sundays when we see you, the pastors, the greeters, the staff team, the key volunteers, you'll hear this phrase a lot. We're so glad you're here. We're not saying this because we're Walmart greeters. We're saying this because we genuinely mean it. We genuinely mean that we are happy that you are here today. Because you could be anywhere else. You could be watching anything else right now. You could be anywhere else, but you're here. We are genuinely grateful that you are here. You know why? Because we are better when you're here. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I may not even know you, but I can say you're a part of the Hollow Hollow. You make the recipe better. You know why? You bring to the table what no one else can bring. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. I love the fact that you're a part of this church family. And if you're just checking us out, come join the family. We'd love to have you. We'll bribe you with a hot dog after service. You know why this is so important? Because if we're going to do anything that's worth doing, if we're going to make a Jesus difference in the world, that's pretty hard to do, right? We got to do it together. This series, Better We Than Me. On your own, you're awesome. You're great. You're a shining star. But on your own, you're a hollow piece of wood. When we put everything together, we'll make beautiful music, because that's what it's about. We need you more than we realize. One of the major metaphors that the Bible gives of this is called the body of Christ. Would you open your Bibles with me? We're going to be in some pretty cool areas here. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We give out free Bibles at this church. Keep your hand up. They'll bring it to you. Take it home. Give it away. Do whatever you want with it. If you want to give it back, you can, but take it. It's our gift to you. Keep your hand up. They'll come and find you. If you got your phone Bible, we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12. Those are the big areas, and we're going to finish in Galatians 5. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to finish the whole thing in Galatians 5. Romans 12, if you're new to Scripture, it's awesome. It can be kind of confusing, so just find the table of contents and then bookmark it. That'll be your best friend until you get to know the Bible a little better. All good, we've all been there. Go ahead and turn to Romans 12. We're going to see this image of the body of Christ as you're finding it. Let me just fill you in a little bit. The body of Christ is a phrase that is used in the New Testament in a couple of different ways. The first way is when it literally talks about Jesus' actual body. So that's one part of it. The second way it's used is when Jesus talks about communion. When he says, this is my body broken for you. So he's talking about communion. But then the last way is the way we're going to focus on today. It's used metaphorically, that the body of Christ is considered the entire church, not just one kind of church or another kind of church, not just Metro or Foursquare or Protestants or Catholics or anything, the entire church, and we call it the big C, capitalized C, church, is the body of Christ. Now, what we're going to see about the body of Christ is that in these parts of Scripture, these verses are often used about spiritual gifts. Maybe you've heard a sermon about encouraging you to volunteer or serve your time on Sunday in the church. That's not today. We're not going to talk about that. We're talking about the broad, meta, big picture of how we need each other, how you're important to this whole thing. Romans chapter 12, we're going to be in verse 3. We'll start in verse 3. It's not going to be on the wall. This is for extra credit for those of you looking at your Bibles. And then we're going to pick it up in verse 4 and 5 after. Here we go, talking about the body of Christ. Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Okay, this is basically Paul saying, kuya jets, slow down, slow your roll, no tarantaran, you're not that awesome, be humble, no grumble, let's go. Verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members or parts, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Take a look at verse 5 again. In Christ, though we're many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You know what that means? Is that we're different in this church. You have different likes, thoughts, dislikes, places of origin, things that you've been through. And that's a good thing. And each member belongs to the other. That means I belong to you and you belong to me. We belong to each other. We are mutually responsible for one another. You see how worshiping Jesus in your tent out in Kalaupapa is nice, but you're not fulfilling what Scripture is talking about together? We are part of something bigger than just us. Okay, flip the page. Go to 1 Corinthians, which is right next to it. Maybe you got to flip a couple of pages. Kind of cool. Romans, the book of Romans, is followed by 1 Corinthians. We're also in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians and Romans are both letters written to places in the time that Paul was doing ministry. So this is the letter to the church in Corinth, the first letter. He writes a second one, and it's called 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to pick it up in verse 26. This is, if you want to skim, this is following a section about how every part of the body is important. And the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Like every part's important, which means every person in the church is important. You play a vital, important part. Okay, look at verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Okay, pause right there. Think about that concept. This is about the body. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Any examples of that? Have you ever hit your baby toe on the side of the coffee table? That little toe flares, you go, ah! And for that split second, all you can think about is how sore your baby toe is, right? One part hurts, the whole body hurts. And if one part does really well, everybody rejoices with it. Let me give you a different example. You ever have someone in your house, I'm not going to say who, but when she's mad, nothing is good? Anybody? Anybody? Not going to say who. Not going to say who. Not you. Not you. You ever have a child in your home that you're raising, and because he throws a fit, the entire moment is ruined? Sometimes my three-year-old dictates what's happening at that time. Get off the ground right now. We're in Safeway. Oh my goodness. You ever have that moment where the three-year-old just takes over? If one part suffers, it affects everything. You get the concept. What about in the church? If one part suffers, I recently talked to a friend who comes to our church but hasn't been on Sunday in a long time. You know, we're watching online, and that's cool. If you're watching online, cool. And I said, how you doing though? Oh, we're having a hard time with this. He told me about a struggle. I said, oh, how can we be there for you? He said, actually, Pastor, my connect group, my small group, they've been with us every week. And they've been supporting us. They've been praying with us. We feel really supported. It's like, that's awesome. Because in the middle of their difficulty, the church, actually their connect group represents the church, is surrounding them. And they're being with them. That's what it's all about. And if one part rejoices, everybody rejoices. Everybody goes, yeah. Because when you win, we win. We're all in this together. That's the idea. I love hearing about the victories that are being won. We had a girl come to our 7 o'clock service. She volunteers in a ministry outside of the church, and they help young teenage moms. And they had a big gathering, a big camp. Jesus moved powerfully. I said, that's awesome. When you win, we all win. That's great. When there's victories happening in your life, we want to hear about it because we want to celebrate with you what God is doing. I don't want this to be on Sunday. You come and listen to some pastor talk about stuff. That's a part of it. I want us to celebrate what God is doing. That's the picture we just read. When one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Look at this, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You're the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. We turn to your neighbor and tell him, you are the body of Christ. Tell him. You're the body of Christ. Say it out loud. You're the body of Christ. Tell them, so are you. Every part of us. You're the body of Christ. You, all of you. We're a part of this together. That's why when people tell me, oh, Pastor, can I just do this on my own? Like, you can, but you're going to miss out on the whole thing together. Okay, let me show you what I mean. I'm going to give you an example, okay? Let's bring the table up. Did anybody not eat breakfast? Anybody hungry? Anybody hungry? Yeah? Yeah? No? It's not, I promise it's not going to be scary. It's going to be good. I need a good, anybody? Yeah? I need hey, let's welcome Matt up here. Give Matt a big hand. Matt, come on up to the stage. Please give a round of applause to Matt. What's up, man? So Matt was a student in our youth group, and now he's a graduated, how old are you now? You're 20? Oh my gosh, you're 20. Some of us remember you when you're this big. And Matt is now a professional longboarder, not joking. And he's famous on Instagram. Anyways, Matt, I'm glad you're with us. If you ever get cut off at Waikiki, it wasn't Matt, but he was probably walking the nose. So anyways. Okay, Matt, come on over here. Come on over here, Matt. Okay, Matt, you said you're a little bit hungry, right? Okay, so I want to just give you an example of what we're talking about here. Okay, so how hungry are you? Plenty hungry. Okay, good, 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 good. Okay, so if you're hungry, let me give you something. Okay, here, hold on to this. Okay. Take a bite. You said you're hungry, right? Not that hungry.
Not
that hungry. Okay. Matt, what is that? This is kale. Yes, kale. Any kale lovers in the house? Okay, a couple of kale lovers. All right. Anybody hates kale? Anybody hates kale? Yeah. See, there's more kale haters than kale lovers. Okay, so you don't want to eat that. All right, well, got something. Okay, hold on to that. Okay, take a bite out of this. Here you go. Take a... Actually, don't do that. Just... Matt, you a crazy Mexican, man. Matt, what is that?
It's a lemon.
Okay. If you don't want to eat that, then put the kale and the lemon in one hand. Okay, here. Why don't you eat some of this? Here you go. Okay, there you go. Okay, go ahead. Take a bite. What else do I have in here? Good? No? Gross? What is it?
Spinach.
All right. 7 o'clock service. I had another guy up here, and he said, lettuce. I said... Let us pray for this boy, not you. Okay, well, if you haven't eaten, you said you're hungry. How about this brown mushy banana? You want to eat this?
Out of all of these, yeah. Yes. But
no, out of all these, yes? Okay, well, you ever have those bananas in your house where you're like just waiting for them to die? Like, and all the flies are buzzing around, you're like, and then you feel really guilty. You're like, I'm so sorry, banana. I had you in your prime and I forgot about you. And then that's one of those guys. Yep. Okay, well, if you don't want to eat any of that, then what if we put it all together? Yeah? Better just instead of one certain thing. So how do we do that? Well, we're going to need a blender. I think I dropped the cover. There it is. Okay. Matt, let's go ahead and put that in here. And for the folks on this side of the house, we'll move this bag. We have some apple juice. Oh, hold on. Wait. Take it easy. Don't put the whole thing. It's going to be gross. Okay, go ahead and put in the spinach. Okay. Actually, no, don't do that yet. Okay, here's the deal. When it comes to smoothies, you know you need a good liquid base. We have apple juice. Apple juice is sweet. This is used as a metaphor of our church. Some of you, when you walk in here, you're just sweet. You come in with a sweetness about you. We love that about you. Others of you, you come in and you're like a lemon. And you walk in like this. We love that about you. Welcome to our church. Come more often. We need both. You know why? Too much sweet is annoying. Somebody say amen. Why'd you say amen to that? That's mean. Be nice to sweet people. We need a little bit of lemon that we're going to throw in because it's going to help to offset. I cut this lemon earlier. Just a little bit of lemon juice. And then also for the kale, Matt, break off a piece of kale on the top. Use your other hand to just, yeah. Okay, now you don't want to blend the stem. Just like a little bit of that part there. There you go. Okay, some of us are like kale. We think we're so good, and everybody thinks that we're so good, and we get a little bit self-righteous on, we got to add kale to that. Is there kale in there? Oh my gosh, kale is so good. Have you tried kale? And the other half of the room is like, oh, kale again, barf. But you know what? You're important to the mix. Others of us are like spinach, classic Popeye spinach, which means when you come into the room, you make everything stronger, a la Popeye, strong to me finish because I eat me spinach. Some of us are like spinach. You make things better. You come to a place, you know how to improve things. People are happy that you're there. And because you walk into a place, people are like, hey, you're here. Part of you feels a little bit of pressure to have to do really good things. Otherwise, people will know what's actually happening inside of you. So maybe you walk into church, or you walk into work, or you walk into your house with this smile on, but it's fake because you don't want to be exposed for who you really are deep down inside. You know what? Jesus takes you as you are, and so does this church. We'll take you as you are. Don't have to act like you have to be anything for anybody. As strong as you are, as strong as you make things better, just come because we're better together. Finally, some of us, you're just a banana. You're a goofball. You do slip and fall, slapstick. You make horrible dad jokes from the pulpit. It's the worst. But people still love you. You know why? Because you're good enough. You're smart enough. And gosh darn, you're good for a smoothie. Go ahead and throw that banana. Just throw the whole thing. You're going to need that banana. For this mix, you're going to need that banana. Now, we also got to add some honey. I call this Kara because she's my honey. And then last but not least, we got to throw in some ice because we cool like that. Well, that's a huge chunk of ice. We are not blending that. All right, let's give it a go. I apologize in advance if this thing blows up. Okay. Go ahead and hit that button right there. Individually, no one would eat it. Put it all together, and what do you got? You got something that might be edible. Yeah, maybe. But it's definitely better than when it was standing by itself. As this thing is going, it's an example of what we're supposed to be. You could absolutely eat raw kale. Some of you do, you're weirdos. You could absolutely eat a lemon. But put it all together and you get... Oh, Matt's a great actor. Give him a hand. Good job, my man. Friends, the illustration just belabors the point that we need you to be a part of what's happening, because by ourselves, it's not very appetizing. But when we put it all together, that's what this is about. The body is stronger when you are a part of it. Can I say this very clearly? We need you more than you realize. And when you are a part of something greater, you'll do greater things than you ever thought you could. You know what's interesting is a healthy body fulfills its purpose. Think about it. Like when you put all the pieces of the bike together, it can fulfill its purpose. Without every single piece, that bike's not going to do what it's made to do. The purpose of a bike is to take you from point A to point B, to ride and have fun. But without that crank or the pedals or the gears or the chain, without one piece, it doesn't work. The purpose of the guitar is to make beautiful music. But without the big piece of wood on the back or even the fretboard or the neck, it doesn't work. When we don't have the pieces together, the purpose does not get fulfilled. The whole of it comes better. The purpose of Hollow Hollow is just to make you happy. So you go, hollow. That's pretty much what it is. We need you. So what's the purpose of the church? What's the purpose of the church? Can I tell you what it's not? The purpose of the church is not Sunday morning Bible study. The purpose of the church is not to make us more self-righteous so we can condemn the rest of the world and teach people that they need to shape up like us. The purpose of the church is not to be a place for perfect people to come to worship a perfect God and have a country club mentality that outsiders might belong, but not until they're on our level. No. You know what the purpose of the church is? The purpose of the church is a gathering of people of different backgrounds, of different places in their life, whether you had a good or a horrible week, whether you did what you knew you should have done and it was awesome, or you didn't do what you know that you're supposed to do, and you're having a hard time with that. The purpose of the church is really to do what Jesus did. It's kind of what this is about. That if we can do what Jesus did, what I mean specifically is this. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And then later he would say, greater things you will do because of when the Holy Spirit empowers you to do things. So what did Jesus do? Now, we won't die on a cross and resurrect like only Christ our Savior can do to show the power of God. But what Jesus did in his ministry here, well, what he said at the end was, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm with you to the end. You're not going to be left alone on this thing. Jesus also talks about the simple idea that when he picks up his ministry, when he first begins, he enters the synagogue, he reads the scroll of Isaiah, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He's empowering me, Jesus is basically saying, to make a difference in the lives of those who are overlooked by society, to bring sight to the blind, to bring healing to the lame, to do things that people are overlooking because they're so busy with their things going on. In the Lord's Prayer, when they say, teach us how to pray, Jesus says, here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in where?
Heaven.
In Jamba Juice, in where?
Heaven.
Jesus came to bring heaven to earth. Jesus came to bring the things of heaven here on earth. Jesus came to bring what's coming here now. Jesus came almost like a better preview of what's going to be happening in heaven. And he came to bring that here. And he asks us to do similar things. So when you watch the news, when you hear about stories, and you go, oh, that's horrible. You're right. Because Jesus came to say, what's in heaven is coming here. I'm going to bring it, and I want you to bring it with me. You see, it's hard to do that by yourself. But it's better when we're doing it together. Let me give you a couple of examples. When your neighbor is hurting, when they're dealing with a loss, when there's issues happening in their lives, can you be there for them in such a way that Christ would too? When you see issues happening in our society and you shake your head like I had previously mentioned, can you choose to get behind and make a difference, to be an advocate for the poor, to show compassion for the marginalized, the exploited? When that unpopular kid is getting teased and picked on, how would Jesus approach the situation? When that person in your office is being looked at and talked about behind his or her back, what would Jesus do in this situation? Last Sunday, since my dad guys went to the mainland this past week, we said, my wife and I said, hey dad, would you guys mind watching the kids after service? Me and Kara can go to lunch and go on a date. He goes, sure. So we had our first lunch date in forever. So they take the kids after service is done, the last service is done. Everybody leaves, we kind of hang and talk story. We close up the building with some people and we're ready to go to lunch. I'm excited. Yeah, lunch date, babe. So we get into the car, we turn right into the road as everybody does, right onto Waikamilo. We get to this first stoplight. We're sitting at the stoplight and this car pulls up next to us. And you know, sometimes you're sitting at the wheel, you just like kind of look over, see who's next to you. We look over and there's this woman who pulls up to the light and she is weeping. Like in full, like, uncontrollable. Her head is on her steering wheel. She's weeping. And she picks it up and we're just like, ooh, something's not good. So we're just like, what do we do here? And we look her way and she's not looking. She's oblivious to the world. So much so that when the light turns green, we go and the car behind her beeps at her because she's not paying attention. I'm like, well, this is not good. So we get to the next light at Dillingham by Bob's Barbecue. We pull up to the light next to each other again. And we look her way and look at Karen and go, we should do something. So we kind of wave her way and we just, the windows are all up. So we just, and I mouthed her, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. And she goes, thank you, thank you. She's weeping. And I wind down my window. And then I do the universal wind down your window sign. So I wind on her window and I say, are you okay? And I say, do you want to talk to someone? Like, we're Christians, we can pray with you. Do you want to talk to someone? She goes, yeah. Said, okay, we're going to pull into Bob's Barbecue right here. If you want to stop, we'll be here. If not, it's okay. Said, okay. So the light turns green. Moment of truth. We pull into Bob's Barbecue and she took off. No, she pulled in. She pulled in, and we got out of the car, and she rolled her window down. We stayed outside of her car, and this is her window, and we just leaned in and we said, are you okay? Like, we go to this church right over here, and we see, and she's weeping, and her father had just passed away. She had just found out that her dad had passed, and it was that uncontrollable sadness, that brokenness, and we thought, oh, my goodness. What do we do here? Well, pray fast. We go to CPK. Come on, we got lunch. We got babysit. Let's go. Sat there. We stood outside her door like this. And maybe 5-10 minutes, we just stood there in the sun. And she's just crying. We tried to give her space just to be able to emote and to be. All the while praying for her silently. And then when she finally had enough time and ran out of Hanabara to blow out because there's only so much limit on that. We said, hey, can we pray with you? She said, yeah. We prayed with her, and then her husband was going to come and meet her. I said, okay, well, we want to give you space because sometimes we just need space to feel, but we're praying with you. So we prayed over her in Jesus' name. And we said, okay, we'll wait with you. We sat in our car until her husband came. We sat in our car and we're just like, man, going on a lunch date is great. What would Jesus do? Getting to where you need to be is great. What did the Samaritan do? Doing what we need to do is great. Well, what would the compassion of Christ do in this situation? Following the law, the rules, it's great, it's important. Well, what would Jesus do here? I think it's important for us to ask that question. How are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to act? Because church is not called to be a Bible study on Sunday, not just to be nicer together. You know what it is? We gather on Sunday for this reason. It's almost like we're in a team, a sports team, a soccer team, a football, whatever it is, baseball. We huddle up. Okay, huddle up. Okay, hey, how you guys doing? You okay? Yeah. Okay. Good. You're doing good. Okay. What do you need? Okay, great. Yeah. Can you guys help me with? Okay, good. Okay. Now there's a game we have to go win. Okay. Let's go. Let's do this together. Ready? Break. Let's go. That's what this is. That's what this is. That's what your connect groups are. That's what Sundays are. I want to hear what God is winning in your life. I want to hear more about it so we can tell people. Because when one part wins, we all win. And when things are going poorly, we want to hear so we can support you and be there because you're a part of a body. You're not a lone pinky finger floating in the water of spirituality. You are part of a body. Without you, no ken shaka. Without us, you are a pinky. That's what we need. What's so important about this is that we need to recognize that a healthy body allows us to do things to make a difference. The body doesn't function well without every part. But listen to this. The pandemic taught us that when your body's not doing good, you can't do what you want to do, right? You ever got that little sniffle during the pandemic and go, oh no! You ever see the line on the stick and go, oh no, I got to call everybody. Sorry, I was hanging out with you. And like when your body's not healthy, it can't do what it's supposed to do. And it's bad when there's outside diseases coming in, no doubt. Yeah, you can't control that. You know what's worse? Is when the body attacks itself. It's worse when the body attacks itself. Not just Metro, when the church at large is attacking itself. And Christians are blasting on other Christians for all these things. You know what they call it when the body attacks itself? An autoimmune disease. According to Johns Hopkins Medicine, an autoimmune disease happens when your body's natural defense system can't tell the difference between your own cells and outside foreign cells. And it causes the body to mistakenly attack normal cells. There are more than 80 types of autoimmune diseases. They include lupus, psoriasis, issues with the thyroid, rheumatoid arthritis, etc., etc. Some of you know this all too well because you've lived through it or you're living through it. This hit home for us. Because my mom, not Joy, my mom was recently diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. She is a 5'2" Chinese firecracker. You can't slow her down. She was a vice principal at a middle school in Kalihi, so sister can handle, you know what I mean? And when she was diagnosed with RA, it slowed her down because she couldn't do all the stuff she used to do. Thank God, my mom changed her entire diet, as many of you have had to do because of health issues. And things are better. She can walk better. Her knees are okay. Like, it's really good to see how she made changes to affect that. And I think as the church, we need to consider how we can view not eating each other and nipping and biting at each other because there are issues outside that are making their way into the church where we start attacking each other. Different political issues, things that have been passed by the Supreme Court. Whether it's gun control, abortion, whether it's coaches praying at the 50-yard line, there are issues that our society is up in arms about, that are trending on Twitter, that are causing people to protest and counter-protest. Those things happen out there. In the church, we have to be able to say that the church itself, the mission is about Jesus. Somebody say amen. The mission is about Jesus. So are we just blind to all the other issues? No, they're real. But I need to say this to you. I think our church is big enough to hold different views, politically, theologically, ideologically, etc. You know why? Because our mission is to do what Jesus did. That's the main thing. That's our purpose. Our church is big enough to have Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Libertarians, the Green Party. I mean, Matt ate a lot of greens this morning, so I mean, you're pretty green there. This church is big enough for how you see the world in different political ways. Because our main thing is Jesus. We have to acknowledge that abortion is a highly contentious and divisive issue in our society. And when that ruling came down, it was met with different reactions on both sides, even in the church. I like what Pastor Rich Velotis said. He said, this ruling has been met with tears of joy and tears of lament. Many in our community are rejoicing, seeing this ruling as an act of God's grace for the unborn. Many are grieving, seeing this ruling as a callous and oppressive decision against the well-being of women. Make no mistake, we believe that God is a God of life, bringing life, creating life, breathing life into dead places, both literally and metaphorically. We believe that God has worked in the Old Testament and the New Testament, speaking about who we are in the womb and intervening in the lives of people in the Old Testament and New Testament who are carrying children, even the mother of our own Savior, Jesus Christ. And we also know that there are extenuating circumstances that surround highly nuanced issues such as these. It would be obtuse to paint one side of the picture and ignore other things as well. Simply put, abortion is more complicated than we'd like to admit sometimes. Some studies show that 1 in 4 women will have had an abortion in their lifetimes. And that of those, 4 out of 10 attend church regularly. And I just want to say, if that's you, I love that you are here at our church. Because you are surrounded by people who have received so much grace and the love and grace that Christ has for us, regardless of our past, present, or future, is deeper than the sea. You are surrounded by people and you are pastored by people who are broken and frail people who only stand because of the grace that was given. And yet we also have to know that God's love is so good. And it's the time for us as the church now to step up and care for women, the poor, those disadvantaged, and the marginalized. It's not time for us to thump politically, nor is it time for us to be Pharisees who, as Jesus says in Matthew 23, tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Pastor John Tyson says it like this. This is not a time for a Pharisaical victory lap. This is not a time to simply lift a finger. This is a time for discipleship, generosity, grace, and putting our faith into action. In this post-Roe reality, the church needs to be the church, a loving, grace-filled community. And I think this church is big enough for whatever you think about this issue. Finally, it needs to be said that we are not loyal to the donkey or the elephant, but to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Issues come and go. Political issues, political systems, political parties come and go. Have you met any Whigs or Tories lately? No. They're gone. But the kingdom of God, it reigns supreme. And that's who we are affiliated with. Although we celebrate America's birthday tomorrow, make no mistake, the church is an embassy of a greater kingdom that exists, that is here, that is coming. And as Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. We are grateful to be citizens of this country. But ultimately, my passport spiritually reads heaven. So can I encourage you to do this? If you're someone who is active on social media, you're a keyboard warrior, you have all these opinions and you're not afraid to put it out there, or if you're someone who's more private and you speak about it between people, can I encourage you to do this? As you speak about tough issues, do it with a heart of grace. How would Jesus approach this? How did Jesus approach the Samaritan woman, the woman caught in adultery? How did Jesus approach the person who had no faith, help my unbelief? Do so with a heart of grace. Because the anger, the outrage, the frustration, and the mockery of other opinions dominates our news headlines, protests, and social media posts. But grace, love, and the kindness of God is the calling card of a follower of Jesus. And if that's you, put your grace on and show that in the way that we speak to one another. And embrace the person who thinks differently than you, because Jesus loves them as much as he loves you. The church is a bastion of grace, and it's the only way we're going to move forward together. And that's the last thing I want to say to you today, is choose to move forward on mission together. What's the mission? What's the purpose of this thing? Oh, it's to do what Jesus did. Okay, then how would Jesus handle this? Let's do that. So if there's a few tweets you need to delete, there's a few posts you need to take down, there's a text you need to send, send it. If there's a way that you need to love someone because that's how Jesus would, not the way that we have, repent and come to the one that loves you right where you are and calls you toward his purpose. That's who we're supposed to be. Tomorrow we celebrate Independence Day. Freedom, yes. So use your freedom in a way that's going to serve others and not as a soapbox of self-righteousness. Here's what Galatians 5 says. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. What a word for us today as the church. Let's not bite and devour each other. Let's love one another. Let's serve one another. We love that you're here. I'm really glad you're here. Come grow with us. I think God is doing some awesome things here because we is better than just me. And you're a part of that. Would you stand with me? Let's pray together. As you stand, would you bow your heads with me? Thank you, Jesus, that you put us before you, that you embodied better we than me, because by your sacrifice, we have life. By your death and resurrection, we have hope that our current reality is not permanent, but rather you paint a picture of what is to come. And we put our faith in that. We put our hope in that. And we thank you, Lord, that in a self-centered, divisive world, in a world of political echo chambers and chatterboxes and loudmouths, in a world of hot takes and clickbait, that you just rise above the top over all of that. Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts right now. Remind us that you are absolutely in control and are worth trusting and are worth giving our entire lives to. Father, in light of all these divisive issues, bring your family together. Here we are. We choose to be here because of you. And Father, I pray that your grace would overflow. It would flow off the table. That it would drip and surround us. That we might find ourselves, that as the song says, if your grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that surrounds us. That there's nothing we can do that would separate us from your love. Thank you, God. Father, I thank you this morning that as we start this new series, give us eyes to see that it's not just about us. It's about what we're a part of. And it's your kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. I just pray your love and your peace over those this morning that need it. We call out to you now. So we come to you because you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Jesus. Finally, we seal all this now in Jesus' name. And the whole church said together, amen. Would you thank God? Isn't he so good to us? He's worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.